Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. So in this video I'm commenting on Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, who flew into the United Kingdom yesterday, and he attended the European Political Community Summit at Blenheim Palace, just north of Oxford. So the European Community was founded in 2022, just after Russia commenced its illegal war of unprovoked aggression against the Ukrainian Republic, and the EPC includes all the European countries at its broadest definition, from Iceland to Turkey, with the sole exclusions of Russia and Belarus. Well, maybe that's not sole, with the two exceptions of Russia and Belarus. So it's not the European Union. It's not trying to work towards unity or trading bloc or anything like that. It's really just discussion with no particular format, no leadership. And Spain hosted a summit. I can't think of whether hosted other summits, but the United Kingdom was the fourth summit in 3 years. 2022, there was one of them, but 2023, I think there were two. And this is the first one of 2024. So yeah, that's it. And so Volodymyr Zelensky, he was given a rapturous reception and he took to the podium where he castigated the Prime Minister of Hungary, Orban Viktor, for visiting the Russian Federation during the war. I mean, just like a week ago. Admittedly, Prime Minister Orban, he also visited Ukraine on his way. I think that was to hedge a bit. But Orban says he would like Ukraine to win, but it's not going to happen. And I'm sorry to say that Orban's assessment is correct if we define victory as Ukraine retaking all its territory, which was Zelensky says is his objective. And that's a reason he said he shan't negotiate until he does that, until Russia unconditionally withdraws from every inch of Ukraine, including the Crimean Peninsula. And so Orban says he has to talk peace. Now, Orban Viktor, he's secured an exemption from European Union sanctions from himself. His country was buying Russian oil and natural gas. The only thing is they're not getting any more. That Druzhba, ironically named friendship pipeline, Druzhba, from Russia through Ukraine onto Hungary, Slovakia, and so on, because finally Ukraine is cut off. It may seem staggering that it took 2.5 years of war before Ukraine did that. Then maybe they should have done it day one, but they realized that Western European economies are too reliant on this, then they may not support Ukraine in aid. And it was perhaps imbecilic of European Union or NATO countries to be purchasing this oil and gas from Russia and then having to fund Ukraine to fight back. Because if you didn't buy any Russian oil and gas, Russia would have far less money with which to be financing its war effort. Now, obviously, cutting them off financially was going to take some time to bite. And we're 2.5 years, only biting a bit now. And Russia is finding it difficult to get semiconductors, transponders, microchips, and so on. They're still doing it, but it's getting increasingly tricky, having to pay more people being busted, sent to jail for buying these things in the United States, Sweden, Germany, where else. Obviously, the sentences are nowhere near enough. And the secondary sanctions are insufficient against Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, the United Arab Emirates, China, whoever else is purchasing these items and selling them on, even if there's a end user certificate and a not for resale clause in the contract. So Zelensky said his piece there. Obviously, Sir Keir Starmer, who was inaugurated as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom only a fortnight ago, he was playing host. This was scheduled a long time ago when Rishi Sunak, the Conservative, was still Prime Minister and First Lord of the Treasury. So it's the first big diplomatic set piece where Keir Starmer can play Bella the Ball. He's still in his trademark military fatigues. And Zelensky, he put those on the first day of the war and seems avowed not to doff them until such time as victory is obtained. But there's been a very significant softening of the rhetoric out of Kiev recently, because now Zelensky said that he is willing to speak to Russia. In the very first few weeks of the war, there were some negotiations. The Ukraine thought that might just collapse, sometimes in Belarus, sometimes in Turkey. But now that then they cut off all contacts when things got going better for them in the late summer of 2022. But now he says that Russia should be at the next peace conference. He previously said they mustn't attend the Swiss peace conference. But I mean, people are correct, even if they think Putin is evil. It is true. You can't make peace on one side. You can't clap with one hand. You know, Ukraine can't make peace if Russia doesn't stop fighting. Am I worried about J.D. Vance? Yes, I am. I'm deeply troubled about J.D. Vance because he said to throw the Ukrainians under a bus, to cut them off completely. And he is by no means a lone voice in the Republican Party. Remember, it was only with the greatest of difficulty and a delay of several months that that aid package was passed by the United States Congress. Finally, Mike Johnson saw sense. Now, this is American honor at stake. You may remember the Budapest Memorandum signed in 1994, ratified by the United States Congress, in which it committed itself to guarantee Ukrainian security. So if America is not to be trusted by Ukraine, why should anyone trust the United States? Why should any of America's allies help them out? When it came to Afghanistan, the Ukrainians sent troops to help the United States. 9/11 was not an attack on Ukraine, it was on the United States. And Ukraine wasn't even in NATO at that point, still isn't in NATO. When it came to Iraq, Ukraine, as many other countries, they sent troops to help the United States in Iraq, hoping there'll be some sort of payback. I know some people, particularly the United States, think that Iraq was foolish or unjustified war or whatever. They might be correct in that supposition, but that doesn't change the fact that the Ukrainians, they put their troops in harm's way. They paid the blood price of friendship with the United States, and surely the United States owes it to them. Otherwise, the US will prove itself to be an unreliable partner. Putin is not going to stop there. Okay, they've openly talked about annexing Moldova. They already illegally occupy some Moldova. They illegally occupy some of the Republic of Georgia. Some of these Russian ultra-nationalist politicians have said, let's invade Alaska, and on and on and on. And there's cyber attacks against the United States and many other countries. That the murder of people abroad in Germany, in the United Kingdom, you know, and not Russian citizens even, that would be bad enough, British citizens, citizens of other countries. So terrorism all around the globe. They're extremely hostile to the United States. And I know relations between the USA and the Russian Federation were quite cordial under George W. Bush. But when they were meeting each other, Putin could barely contain his laughter, thinking, what a chump. How on earth can he be duped by this? How could it be so foolish as to trust me when I'm sweet talking him just to get what concessions I can out of him? The most imbecilic thing that George W. Bush ever said, as Christopher Hitchens noted, was saying, when I saw Putin wearing a crucifix, I knew he was a man I could trust. I mean, Putin, he will play to the gallery, he'll pretend to be a Christian, pretend to be an anything, if he thinks it furthers his objectives of Russian hegemony. Zelensky, he's attended a meeting of the British cabinet. What a singular accolade. The only foreign leader to do that ever, I think, was Bill Clinton in 1997 under Tony Blair. But yes, it's nice and symbolic, and hoisting the Ukrainian flag from public buildings, what a touching gesture. But they don't need gestures, they need armaments and serious quantities, and they're not getting enough. And if Trump wins, as is likely, I give it a 60% chance, and if there's a Republican-dominated Congress, as is less likely, to control at least one house, I would give that a 60% chance. To control both houses, I think it's a bit lower, like 50% chance. But if any of that happens, aid to Ukraine is at very least going to be reduced, and it might be cut to zero. So European NATO countries and EU countries, they could supply Ukraine with all they need. But the trouble is they're too stingy and they're too short-sighted, because stop Putin now before he attacks you. As one, I think it was Kuleba, the Ukrainian foreign minister, said, when the Ukrainians lost whichever city it was it Lysychansk, the Russians just got closer to your home. Right. And why would they stop? Putin is a megalomaniac. He's a bloodthirsty ogre. So watch out. He means us harm. There's no two ways about it. And so he will promote white supremacism, and he will promote wokery, leftism, anything he thinks undermines cohesion, anti-democratic groups. These two diametrically opposed positions, because he's a totalitarian, he's viciously anti-democratic, and that's why he lauds North Korea or the cruelest tyrannies around the world. So, Western countries could give way, way more aid to Ukraine. What do they give? 10% of the military budgets to Ukraine? That'd be enough. They're not even giving 1%. The Conservative government that got kicked out in the UK, they said they're going to raise defense spending from 2% of GDP to 2.5% by 2029. Labour said they will raise it to 2025. To 2.5% of GDP, but they didn't give a deadline. So they're never going to do it, is what that means. So it's all very worrying, and it's all very avoidable. If Ukraine had been properly armed in the beginning, this war might never have started. And of course, the UK shouldn't be pussyfooting these Storm Shadow missiles. You can use them to the maximum possible range. Fine. Because what's Russia going to do? They've got no capacity to do anything else. You know, Turkey even shot down a Russian military jet that was over their airspace for seconds in 2015, and the Russians were annoyed, but their only riposte was economic, to cancel flights to Turkey. So Turkey lost out on Russian tourism. There was no military response, and everything has been a red line, and this is an escalation, and they've done nothing because, you know, all their military assets are in Ukraine. So we should be far braver about this. I thought, like, country like Sweden, now that's in NATO, I'd give half the military equipment to Ukraine. Who is going to threaten Sweden? It's surrounded by NATO countries, so they're completely safe. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Okay, goodbye.